Welcome back, everybody, to Championship Week Video Notebook here at Hoops HD. This is day number 6.
Yes, it is.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, and from the Puppet Bunker in Frisco, Texas, we have David Griggs. We lost John Stalica. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he won't.
Yeah, he's rebooting his computer. He should be ready in the next hour or so.
He should be ready for tomorrow night's show.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot to get to. Actually, not as much as last night, but there is a lot of big games we got to go over here. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, not nearly as busy of a day. As great as yesterday was, it was kind of exhausting trying to keep up with everything. I kind of like this when you never really have two or three more games going on at once.
Yeah, you actually have like all the games on if you have just like a couple computers and a TV or something, which as opposed to trying to figure out which game I'm supposed to be watching right now because it's coming up with a close finish or whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's get to that. Today was the conclusion of regular season play in the final two conferences. The American and the Big Ten finished up. Let's kind of pull the standings up here. First in the American, where we had, David, the game of the day, maybe the game of the season, when Central Florida beat East Carolina 94-62.
Your
detailed
kind of
thoughts on this game.
Yeah, and it's big because, again, it has, you know, major opening round implications. Tulane with a really big year, hoping to get a slightly more winnable game, get to the quarterfinals, Ron Hunter in his first season. But, I mean, just again, and it embodies – what we've seen out of this conference all year long, just great basketball.
But seriously, we saw Houston. The two notable games in the American were Houston's win over Memphis, which probably all but put Memphis in a spot where they've got to win the American to get in, and Wichita State takes down Tulsa, which prevented Tulsa from getting sole possession of first place and killed my chances to make that argument for the Tulsa at-large bid next week on the virtue of their first place finish. Now they're in a three-way tie, so
they have a case. It's a weak one, but I'm sure they'll
be. It would have been interesting if they'd won today's game. That's all I got to say.
Oh, it would have been. Yeah.
But Wichita, much needed win actually for the Shockers, who I think are on the right side of the bubble right now with this victory.
Yeah, kind of disappointing in conference play and kind of surprisingly disappointing, 11-7, but I agree. I think they're on the right side of the bubble.
Also finished up play in the Big Ten where, David, we are not going to discuss Minnesota's thrilling 107-75 victory over Nebraska, but we did have three other important games, actually. Maryland knocks off Michigan, Michigan State over Ohio State, and Illinois over Iowa. And we end up with a three-way tie for first place in the Big Ten Conference as a result of all that.
Yeah, two of the teams, not a surprise. One of them sort of is in whiskey. They clinched at least a share yesterday.
And the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Right, yeah, after all the tiebreakers. Yeah. So, but Michigan State is play. I mean, they've had a fantastic couple of weeks, maybe a better couple of weeks than anybody else in the country, with beating multiple protected seeds away from home and playing their way up to a first place tie. Going into this tournament, is there anybody you like more than them to win? I mean, they're just on fire right now.
I think absolutely is it. And the tournament, you know what? I'm going to quickly jump over here, and I want to put the Big Ten tournament up on the screen. So I'm going to have to put this down for a second here, David.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of seconds to fill it because I did not prepare for this. Let's get this right back on up. And this is the bracket for the Big Ten tournament, which is coming up here. And it's a pretty interesting bracket that you got Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State, even Penn State, all on one half of the bracket. A little unbalanced there, I think, actually, the way the tiebreakers worked out.
Yeah, it kind of is. And one of the things, I mean, you kind of have the slog of the opening round, but Indiana, I saw Tytel put them on his nine line today. And again, Tytel, a committee guessing expert.
I think it's a good call for them. I think they're a 9 or 10 seed. Absolutely. I agree with
them. They're an 11 in their conference tournament. just saying, maybe that's where they are nationally. But, typically if you're on the 9 line, I know that the bubble is typically around the 11 or 12. You're not going to fall two seed lines no matter what you do. Do they even need to beat Nebraska? I mean, I know it would be bad if they didn't, but that's
no. I think they're in even with a loss to Nebraska. Obviously, any argument that they don't belong in is gone after they just beat Nebraska. You don't have to beat Penn State. Obviously, Rutgers, the other team that has been on the bubble, I think is in. They're my school, but you beat Michigan, and there's going to be no doubt about it there. Also, But let's go to the actual conference tournament play. We're going to come back Tuesday night and speak a lot more about the Big Ten tournament as we start previewing it then. But let's go over to the championship games that were played today. And we'll start out in the Missouri Valley Conference, where Valparaiso's run through has finally come to an end as they go down to Bradley, who wins the second straight Arch Madness for the Braves.
Yeah, you know, this was about an exciting game. It was an exciting game for about 30 minutes. Bradley kind of opened it up at the end. They went out there and they certainly earned it, but it was just kind of crazy. Their path was a 5-8-7. They beat no one in the top half of the bracket on their way to the championship. So wasn't that sort of the case last year? Did the bracket collapse or did they pull off a big upset?
The bracket collapsed a little bit for them. Again, also last year, I don't recall the exact matchups.
We have
research that. We don't research on the show. We just do it.
Yeah. We don't research on the show, but Bradley winning the auto bid, and that is the rule, but not beating anyone in the top half of the bracket to do it. Well, I suppose the five, it is a 10-team league.
Well, they didn't pull an upset. They were 4-5, 4-8, 4-7, yep. And of course, the Northern Iowa question is going to be a question that's going to be debated for the next week with people yelling they belong in. I don't think they do. I really don't. I'd love to see them get in, but
I don't know. I haven't done a seed list. I know that I have to do one before tomorrow. I don't know where they'll fall on it because I haven't done it yet. But I'm with you. I would like to see them get in, but it is a hard case to make.
We also had the championship game in the let's go to the Big South next tonight, where at Winthrop was Winthrop and Hampton. And Hampton was in there for a while, but again, kind of like the MVC game, you know, Winthrop was able to put it away towards the end, towards the last 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, Hampton really jumped out early. I think they had a double-digit lead, early on in the first half. But, Winthrop battled back and then got control in the second half and got the automatic bid. And I know that they were the second seed, but overall, when you look at the entire season all the way back to November, I think Winthrop is the best team. And the most, like, if anybody's going to make a move in the round of 64, it's going to be them. Still a really good showing for Hampton in this tournament and really throughout the year. They're kind of fitting right in. At first, I thought they were it was just kind of hard to envision them in the Big South. But, I mean, they've made themselves kind of at home rather quickly here. I think they're a good fit.
Yeah, I agree with you. Winthrop, of course, the team that won at St. Mary's at the very way back in November, so – they've shown they have the ability to beat tournament caliber teams. If you think St. Mary's is a tournament caliber team, which is a debate for tomorrow night. Our third championship game today was in the Atlantic Sun, which was Liberty and Lipscomb. And this was just not a game.
It wasn't.
Liberty crushed them.
Yeah, we've been real critical of Liberty pretty much all throughout the year. Largely because I think we were just expecting more of them than what they were showing.
We expect them to do the things that they did today. Now, their style doesn't really, play up to that, but, they took care of business and took care of it the way you're supposed to take care of it today. And congrats to the Flames. And they are going to be a very dangerous team, whoever they match up with.
I think this was their 30th win, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
30. Okay, 30. So it was at least 30. So entering – there are not going to be too many teams with that many wins coming into the tournament. Dayton hasn't gotten to 30 yet.
It was semifinal day today in the Patriot League, where we saw kind of a snoozer in the Colgate-Lafayette game. But the first game between BU and Bucknell was a pretty good one, and Bucknell was able to hang tough and really had a chance to win this one at the roof there, David.
Yeah, kind of a snoozer at first. Boston U had a comfortable lead early, but Bucknell – came back, had a chance to win. And, as they were coming back, I'm like, oh, Bucknell's going to do it. They're going to play their way in, but not to be done. But Boston U Colgate should be a fun championship game.
Yeah, it should be. That'll be coming up Wednesday night here. And that'll be at Colgate.
Yeah.
But it was also semifinal day in the Southern Conference, where in a complete snoozer, East Tennessee State just rolled Western Carolina, but that was completely made up for in the nightcap between Wofford and Chattanooga, which went back and forth, and Storm Murray from Wofford at the buzzer hit the shot with, what was it, 2 seconds left, 1.5 seconds left to give Wofford the win and advance up to the finals tomorrow night, 7 p.m. ESPN, the only championship game tomorrow.
Right, and this was just an exciting game. It was a fun game to watch. It seesawed back and forth. So, nice win for Wofford, the seventh seed who had played really well, lost a lot of close games, but getting it done in the tournament. I guess the big question here is, has East Tennessee State done enough? I would argue that they have. They were the first place team. They played their way into the championship.
And they did what they needed to do in this tournament, which was win the first two games by a blowout if they're going to need an at-large bid. They didn't do what Northern Iowa did, lose in the quarterfinals, for example.
Right, but they're going to have their hands full against a Wofford team that's playing at a high level after kind of taking most of the year to get there, but they're there.
And a little fact here, David. Wofford, this will be the sixth time they've played in the Southern Conference Tournament Championship game. They're 5-0 so far.
Really? I did not. That's good trivia. I didn't know that.
I think this is going to be a hell of a game tomorrow night, and I am not going to be shocked one bit despite their seventh seed if Wofford wins this event.
Yeah, it should be a great crowd. This is a good tournament. Kind of one of the gems.
Yeah, not that far from Johnson City, where East Tennessee State is. I guess not that far from Wofford, even. It was also quarterfinal round day in the Colonial today.
Yeah.
Our colleague John Tytel was there. He's got a post on the website. You can read about all about it and what they fed him and everything else. As far as the game goes, let's start with the top there. You know, Hofstra just rolled Drexel, as we kind of suspected, but Delaware, a little bit of a surprise. Had College of Charleston had them fairly easily in the top half there, David.
They did. This game was close for a while, but Delaware clearly the better team. Nothing against Delaware, but I think the bigger surprise was just College of Charleston not showing up and not finishing the job.
They fell apart the last month or so of the season. They really did.
And Earl Grant, a fantastic coach. He's done extremely well there. It was just kind of shocking to see them kind of fall apart like that. Bill and Mary, you kind of hated to see them go. You always hate to see them go because every year you're kind of asking yourself, will this be the year? Yet again, the answer is no. And then Northeastern looking pretty good here, Chad. They got a pathway to the championship game. They were my pick to win this tournament.
Yeah, you know what? Northeastern was a lot better team this year than the sixth seed that they ended up with. So that one, I think we all picked them to win that game yesterday. Yeah. The Elon William Mary upset, we didn't pick, although William Mary's been off and on all season. They've had times this season when they've lost head scratchers, and this was kind of it again. But now we've got coming up tomorrow night, doubleheader, Hofstra versus Delaware and Elon versus Northeastern. David, you got a pick for these two games?
Yeah, I'm sticking with I guess the chalk. With Northeastern being the sixth seed, but I'm going Hofstra and Northeastern.
Hofstra and Northeastern. I like that pick. I think that Delaware is going to give Hofstra a game, though. Do not count. This Delaware team has a lot of depth, a lot of scoring. I saw them play Delaware State earlier this year, and this is a very young team as well. I think it's going to be very dangerous come next season, and if these kids are starting to gel right now. You might remember, David, Delaware was one of the last undefeated teams remaining way back in November and December.
Yeah, they were. I mean, kind of against a bubblegum schedule, but not entirely, though. They won those games out in Hawaii, including a game against Hawaii. So, they're capable of playing pretty well. I just don't think that they get – but I agree. They could give Hofstra a game, but I don't think they're going to ultimately win it.
Last games that were on today was the last two quarterfinals in the Summit League. Oral Roberts – and Omaha was close for about a half, and then Oral Roberts just put him away.
Oh, man.
On the other hand, North Dakota got out to a big early lead on South Dakota. South Dakota stormed back and took a nice size lead on North Dakota, who then stormed back again and ended up pulling out a last-second victory here in what was a real fun game to end
the game. Yeah, just real entertaining to watch. This tournament seems to always deliver, and we've seen, three – really, really good games down to the final play in three of them, really. And 74-71, what happened was South Dakota had a chance to win on what would have been the final possession. They ended up not scoring and then fouled with less than a second to go to get it to, but it was really, for all practical purposes, a 1-point game.
Yeah, it was back and forth the last minute. It was a ton of fun at the end of that game. And we now set up a game here. North Dakota State Oral Roberts is the early game tomorrow. Fort Wayne and North Dakota in the late game. We're not going to get the right. We were hoping for a South Dakota State, the winner to face North Dakota State. We're not going to get any of that. But the big question is, two of the top three seeds have already gone down. North Dakota State struggled in their quarterfinal. Are they in trouble with Oral Roberts tomorrow?
I don't think so. But maybe.
That would blow this whole thing up entirely.
Yeah, I know.
I think Fort Wayne, North Dakota just, could be a real good game also. Mm-hmm. And David, I want to just throw something out here. As you see, we have a 6-7 semifinal there in the Summit League.
Yeah,
Let me bounce back. We have a 6-7 semifinal in the Colonial.
Wow.
Let me bounce back. We had a 6-7 semifinal in the Southern today. Let me bounce back again. We also had one in the Missouri Valley. That is four now this year, David. 6-7 semifinals, and only, I think, 11 conferences that have reached the semifinal stage so far. So
that is shocking. But one of the things you got to love about the Summit League is that it has Oral Roberts, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Omaha, which is in, Omaha, and Fort Wayne, which is in Indiana. Very mountainous summit areas in some of these places.
Let's move on to games that are coming up tomorrow that were not in action that are going back into action. And let's start with the Horizon League, which is, forget about all that nonsense on the Tuesday and Thursday. We are now down to a regular bracket, 4-team bracket in Indianapolis with the two semifinals. Wright State gets UIC, Northern Kentucky versus Green Bay. I think we're going to see chalk tomorrow, David, but do you?
I agree. UIC all over the place, very schizophrenic. They're capable of playing really well. So Wright State wants to take them seriously. And Green Bay capable of playing well too, but no, I think it's the chalk. And I think the rivals in KU and Wright State end up meeting in the final.
And do we have John Slica with us?
I don't know. Do you?
Yeah, we do.
John Slica is with us. John, we are already out to the previews of tomorrow, but welcome to the show. We were just finishing up with the Horizon League, so let me throw this out to you also. Do you see any upsets in either two Horizon League semifinals tomorrow?
I suppose you could call them upsets, even though Illinois-Chicago has already beaten Wright State on the year, and Green Bay has already beaten Northern Kentucky right here. I do think it's ultimately going to be Wright State and Northern Kentucky advancing, but if I had to pick a team more likely to give a scare, probably would be Illinois-Chicago here against Wright State.
All right. Let's move on to the West Coast Conference, and let's actually step back to last night, because we ended our show before what ended up being one of the best games of the day day was played. Quite honestly, I slept right through it because I could not make it through a double overtime that ended at 3:30 in the morning with daylight savings time. But St. Mary's somehow survived Pepperdine late last night, David.
Yes, and now we have to endure, or I do, St. Mary's. They looked exactly basically what I've expected. At no point have they really looked like a tournament team, but you and Stalika and Titel and everyone, Rocco, all of it, everyone convinced that St. Mary's is a tournament team. And why not? They beat Pepperdine in double overtime.
Well, but losing to BYU is not going to hurt their profile. And obviously, if they beat BYU tomorrow night, it's going to help a ton.
It would actually give them one. Right now, they don't really have one.
It would give them their second win over a BYU team that's towing a protected seed. Yes, David, I get it. Stalika, first of all, any chance San Francisco upsets Gonzaga?
Well, they've come close twice during
just,
the
just say no.
Wait,
just say no. It's late.
They came close once, but they've played four halves, and for three of those four, they were right with them. But in the Gonzaga blasted them in the second half the last time.
But how about this BYU St. Mary's game, Stalika? Let me this more seriously give you the good game.
I'm going to go ahead and say St. Mary's actually does get one more win right here before going into the championship.
Don't even ask me who I'm going to pick, Chad. You already know the answer.
I don't know. I think St. Mary's might beat Gonzaga on Tuesday night also, just to really piss you off, David.
If they do that, then I will relent. If they beat Gonzaga on Tuesday, I will concede the fact that they belong in.
Well, we are now getting towards the end of this monstrosity. That's the West Coast Conference Tournament, but we are still towards the beginning of the monstrosity that is the Sun Belt Tournament. However, it is going to be, I guess we'll call this second round day tomorrow, a couple of campus site games. Louisiana, who got by Arkansas State on Saturday, thanks in part to a late technical foul, is taking on Georgia Southern. Coastal Carolina is going to be at Mr. Sleeka's favorite team, Appalachian State. David, what about these two games? Do they matter, and do you see either road to winning?
Well, they matter in the sense that the winner gets to keep playing. They don't in the sense that I don't think it's going to make a ripple as far as who actually gets into the NCAA tournament, much less goes beyond the round of 64. But I'm sticking with the home teams, Hot, and Georgia Southern.
Yeah, I agree with that also. John, you being our Ohio guy, there is one more tournament that is starting off, and it is the Mid-American Conference. It is first round day on campus sites, and we've got a lot of Ohio connections here. Central Michigan at Ohio U, Miami, Ohio at Buffalo, Western Michigan at Toledo, and Eastern Michigan at Kent State. Your thoughts on these four games?
My thoughts is my eventual champion is going to come out of these games. It is not going to be a team from Ohio. It is going to be the Buffalo Bulls, who's actually going to get off to a good start against Miami here. And the reason I say this is teams like Akron, Bowling Green have been sputtering of late. Buffalo has quietly gotten hot and is starting to resemble a little more of the team that, not as hot as they were last year, but certainly a team solid enough to make a deep run and I think actually end up going to the NCAA tournament again.
Yeah, David, do you agree with him? Who's your pick to win this conference?
Akron. I still like the way that they've been playing. I know that they have sputtered a little bit, but it's a different ballgame in the conference tournament. And the one thing about that is just the winnable quarterfinal game. And if they avoid Akron-Buffalo would be a hell of a semifinal game.
I agree. If Northern Illinois wins that that quarterfinal over Buffalo, it's a little more advantageous for Akron. But
yeah.
I don't think we're going to see any upsets tomorrow. Yeah, I kind of like all four home teams. I think all four of them were – even the 8-9 game, I think Ohio is a lot better team than Central Michigan this
year.
Yeah,
well, three of the 9-10 – well, yeah, basically 9-10, 11, and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
all the visiting teams.
there are some interesting storylines here, though, with Bowling Green trying to make their first NCAA tournament since 1968, coming in as the 2 seed. But I'm going to go with a team that we haven't discussed much all season. But, David, I'm picking Ball State to win this event.
That would be a hell of a story, too.
I think they'll have no problem with their quarterfinal. Bowling Green, as Sleek already mentioned, is prime for an upset, and that puts them in the championship game, so why not?
Yeah. Oh, that would be fun. That would be either one of those, Bowling Green or Ball State, would be fun.
Well, that's a good point, though, because trying to go through Toledo a third time, that's not going to be easy for them, even though Toledo's been a major disappointment this season.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, that concludes all the games that are coming up tomorrow, and it's time to move to our great moments in Hoops HD Championship Week video notebook history. Now, David, it was my day to pick the event.
I'm always worried when Chad picks it.
Now, I decided to go back about 6 or 7 years ago because if you may remember, these shows used to be a lot longer. We try to get them done in about half an hour. There was a time we used to go 2, 3, 4 hours with these shows at times.
Yeah,
And we even had to have a break in the middle, have a little entertainment. We had guests come on and perform at the break, kind of like a halftime show. And I want to go back to back to one of our halftime shows that actually made the national news. It was all over the media. I got to warn you, this is maybe not safe for work here.
I don't remember.
But do you recall this? Oh, we should not be showing that on here. Was a Janet Jackson. Don't you remember when Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction happened on our show?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it didn't happen on our show.
Oh, really, I thought the floor sweepers were going to have a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh my God, the floor sweepers.
let's move on to our survival board. Heading into today's action, there were 246 teams left with a chance to win the NCAA tournament. And David, can you tell us what the point of this whole survival board is?
Well, yeah, I mean, it first and foremost, it's a tool for the selection committee, and it gauges who is in the tournament or who they should take, who they should consider, and who they don't need to worry about unless they win the automatic bid. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's what it is. It's a tool for them. We do it for them to help them out because we know what a hard job they have.
Right. And we have teams noted in various different manners here. Let's kind of scroll down here. For example, you know, if they're wondering, you know, we've got teams that are all in bold, David. Those are the locks, right?
Yeah, those are the locks. Those are teams that are in regardless of whether or not they win their conference tournament.
And then we have teams that are italics. Those are teams that they should consider possibly for an at-large bid. Like
right.
There you see
Brian. Yeah, Brian, he's the grand marshal of the survival board.
Let's see what actually happened as a result of today's action here. We were at 246, and we are now down 233 teams left.
Okay, so, it's hard. That's over 120 teams that have been eliminated in just about a week or so.
And yeah, Brian is more or less the fifth category on the survival board. We have losing, you're screwed, and the fifth category is Brian's going to say goodbye to you for the season.
Yep. As you can see, teams like Liberty and Winthrop both won the conference tournament. Say they are now in bold in all caps. They are guaranteed spots in the field.
Yeah.
We got the bolds and the locks, and we got, you know, but the real important thing, though, is if this selection base shows up and says, I wonder if we should be considering Fordham for an at-large bid, they could look here and say, no, we should not.
Yeah, because they're not in italics.
Exactly.
Or bold.
On that note, let's go over to some final thoughts here. And Mr. Sleek, let me let you start things off.
Yeah, it's been about 3 or 4 years now since we've gone to teams having a 4 timeouts throughout a game. But I have to salute Pepperdine because thanks to double overtime, they had a grand total of 5 timeouts remaining at the end of that game because they actually went through a regulation and overtime without having to call one themselves here. But unfortunately, it was in a losing effort.
Well, I salute them for not calling timeouts. In fact, I think they should have won the game because they didn't call timeouts. But
right, I think that should be, instead of overtime, it's the team with the most timeouts remaining.
I can go for that. David?
It's hard to believe that championship week is essentially half over. I guess we're getting into the more of the showcase part of championship week, which is great as well. I mean, all the conference tournaments are great, but there's something to be said, and I know that not all the under-the-radar conferences are done just yet, but I kind of always miss the first half of championship week, like doing every year that this show, the Sunday night of championship week, it's always like, man, you know, we watch those teams all year, and you kind of hate to see their conference tournament ends. It's just another reminder that the season's almost over. But we've still got a lot of fun left to have.
We've got a ton of fun. This is just going to be a great week these last 7 days here. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. We're going to do a bracket rundown podcast probably early on in the evening and have a video notebook after that late BYU-St. Mary's game. But on behalf of John Slica and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. I'll talk to you again real soon.